This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Joining us now, Tisa Tells from Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, what happened?
Okay, so like Diddy's team has done the whole trial. Hurry, so they can wait. We were all ready for it. There was a letter they sent saying they wanted it moved up to September 22nd. We were waiting for a legal showdown. In the court, it was all done teleconference. It was all done teleconference. And what's more, Diddy's team agreed to the October 3rd, but they want reports early. If anything, everybody in the courtroom collectively rolled their eyes. Again, they were in the overflow room. They did not let anybody into the courtroom. Everybody collectively rolled their eyes because at the end of the day, this is more legal finagling. And it actually angered a lot of people, even when they heard that news. Why? Because you have to look at it. Diddy's team, at least I believe, they won on technicalities. They won on a trial by ambush. And it looks like for this pre-sentencing report where there's going to be a lot of character witnesses, a lot of character letters wrote to the judge, good and bad, they're once again trying to run the clock off and win by a technicality. The general public wasn't allowed in the main courtroom. Again, this was all done, looked like via a secure Zoom call, okay? We could have literally just phoned this in, but you know the senators in New York, they don't like anything taped, and you're not allowed to get into the live feed, I guess, unless you're one of the parties joining. However, they were generous enough to let everybody go into the overflow room. That is when they put the Zoom call on the big feed. Again, Mark Agnifilio's comedy show was in full effect. Again, when the screens came on, Mark Agnifilio was like, "Sean, is that you?" Trying to be funny. Again, who are you performing for? I guess he's performing for his public. He said this was the best closing he ever did. He is still on a high. He literally said, "Sean, is that you?" Diddy said, "Yeah, where are you?" He said, "Oh, I'm in my office." Again, they could have done this off camera, but they wanted everybody to get into the flow. They asked, "Is the government on?" The government was very dry. "Yes, we're here." I guess they're still licking their wounds, okay? And then all of a sudden, the deputy said, "Beyond the letter, is there anything else?" Both parties said no. And they said, "Okay, meeting's adjourned." Again, when I tell you it was a nothing burger, everybody was on the edge of their seats waiting for something. When it came to being a nothing burger, it was a giant nothing burger. And then, of course, they released the letter to the public. So we lie in wait to see whatever tricks Diddy's team, and we're sure they have them, have up their sleeves to make sure that Diddy, even with those two sex crime convictions, is not held accountable for what he's done.
Philip Dubay, veteran defense attorney, weigh in. Is this what you expected?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? First of all, we're in the dead of summer, and most attorneys, court staff have vacation plans ready to go. And to suggest that they need all this extra time to prepare and to get witnesses into court is actually quite laughable. And we use it oftentimes just to placate the client. You know, patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. We're going to get you a great sentence. We're going to get you a great outcome. But the truth is, these attorneys are probably thinking about their prepaid all-inclusive resort getaways that they had scheduled way ahead of time. And the last thing that they need is for a sentencing hearing to get in the way of that, where they have to reschedule, suffer cancellation fees, and Lord knows what else. So my hunch is they need more time because they want to get out of Dodge.
Joining us, Dr. Bethany Marshall, renowned psychoanalyst out of the LA jurisdiction. You can see her on Peacock, and she is the author of Deal Breakers on Amazon. You can find her online at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany Marshall, what do you make of it?
Well, I do think it's much ado about nothing. I think that when people have nothing to say, they keep shuffling the shells around, right? And this just seems like a big shuffle. What I'm really worried about right now is, after the sentencing, if it's too short, what is going to happen with all of the victims? I mean, are the victims even being held in mind? I'm not talking about sex trafficked victims from all over the world. I'm talking about Cassie Ventura, Mia, Jane, all these women who were so brave to go out on the stand and to really tell their truth, risk shame, risk humiliation. And now the Agnifilo is just doing a big shell game, trying to sort of, he's tap dancing, trying to look like he's busier than he really is. I think actually that the die is cast. I think Sobranium has a pretty good idea of what's going on. I think he's going to give him the maximum. I do know, because I'm married to a judge, often they try to split the baby, even if they're disappointed after a jury verdict. They may not like what the jury decided, but they will try to walk a fine line between what they think is a fair sentence and what, and upholding the opinions of the jurors, the American public. But in this case, there are so many victims at risk. That's what worries me the most. And I'm sure Lynn can talk more about this, but P. Diddy is a menace to society. He's a true menace. The fact that he was holding a freak off the night that the feds came for him, what does that tell you about his future offending behavior? He's not gonna leave prison chaste or remorseful or trying to slow down the party bus. He's gonna be even more galvanized than before. So I just hope this sentencing keeps society as safe as possible for as long as possible.
Joining me is Lynn Shaw, founder and director of Lynn's Warriors, dedicated to ending sex trafficking and exploitation of girls and women. Lynn Shaw, at least the judge sent a message to the victims. What's your response?
Well, first of all, everybody's hitting the nail on the head, but I have to ask, where is the standing ovation for all of these victims that came forward and laid it out, put their lives on the line? Yes, I'm going to say put their lives on the line. This case of one Sean Combs, I refuse to call him Dirty Diddy, as I was referring to him for many weeks, because it's not cute at all anymore. This was bigger than just this case. This was something that all victims and survivors of sexual exploitation, abuse, rape, crimes. It kind of infected all of society. We have spent the exhaustive last couple of weeks unraveling all this with victims, talking them through everything. But I have to say, again, a slap in the face for all victims who are following along, and they're all looking at this and they're all talking about it. I can ensure that this is what they're doing, and they're looking at it as another man of power, wealth, over and celebrity over their truths. And you know what? I think this is just something that they're playing games now. And that is so insulting, how the lawyer is acting, you know, on the video with Sean Combs, making small talk. It's disgusting. It shouldn't even be allowed. And you know what? We are all about empowering the victims and survivors. And we pray that the judge does, when this comes around in October, October 3rd, he does the right thing and gives him the maximum sentence he can give him.
To Dr. Duane Hendricks, joining us now, former associate warden at the MDC. You can find him at newdaylightfoundation.com. Dr. Hendricks, are you surprised?
So I'm not surprised Mr. Combs and his legal team pivoted from their earlier strategy of an expedited sentence. I believe after they came down off the euphoria of the verdict last week, they realized that it was in Mr. Combs' best interest to go ahead and go through the pre-sentence investigation. And I also believe that if Mr. Combs fully cooperates with the pre-sentence investigation and talks about his childhood, especially accepting responsibility and what brought him to this point in his life and where he's going to go from here, it probably will help mitigate the sentence that he's going to receive on October 3rd. Also, I also believe if he receives a sentence of less than 27 months, he'll probably serve his time at MDC Brooklyn. And the reason why I say that is because he already has a year of jail credit, nearly a year of jail credit, and then he'll also earn about a month and a half of good conduct time. And also, he'll be able to serve 30 to 90 days on home detention if he continues good behavior while he's at MDC Brooklyn.
Dr. Hendricks, what happens now for Sean Combs?
He'll remain at MDC Brooklyn until his sentencing on October 3rd. And during this time, he'll try to maintain a low profile, good behavior, and also go through the pre-sentence investigation and probably spend a lot of time visiting with his family until his sentencing in October.
Dr. Hendricks, will Sean Combs stay where he is now until sentencing set for October?
So over the last year,
And prior to that, MDC Brooklyn has had a lot of issues and concerns and challenges. And Mr. Combs made it very clear, and his legal team made it very clear, that they didn't want him housed there. However, I find it interesting now that he's been cleared on the major charges and only convicted on the lesser charges, and now that he's had a standing ovation when he returned back to the unit, now I think that they would rather have him do his time. If he is sentenced more than a year and a day or time served, they would rather have him do his time at MDC Brooklyn and not anywhere else across the country. And that way he don't have to go get on a bus, get on an airlift, wear that black box, Martin chain, and leg irons. So I would say, because of the decreased population, better leadership at the institution, the challenges have subsided at MDC Brooklyn.
Dubé, weigh in.
Well, first of all, it wasn't so expedited. If I recall, you know, the initial report was going to be when? September 15th, you know, so that's what, a month and a half away? Then they wanted the actual sentencing hearing on September the 22nd. So all they're really doing is moving it from September 22nd to October the 3rd. We're talking about a couple of weeks here. And the practical reality of it is it's very hard to coordinate scheduling for every member of the defense team. And out of fairness to the prosecution, they have a right to be heard as to what date would be convenient and work for them as well. So they probably just decided, look, October 3rd is good enough. We can get our vacations done. We can get our memos filed. We can get the oppositions filed and be heard in its totality. So no harm, no foul in the end. But really, if you think about it, it just wasted everybody's time by dropping all these letters to the court, requesting that the court dates get advanced to a sooner date. But in truth, they're really thinking about whether or not they're going to have ample time to have their Mai Tais at whatever resort that they already had pre-planned. So in the end, we're really talking about a 2-week differential.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, what do you think?
You know, Nancy, what's very interesting about men who fit a sociopathic profile is that they have a lot of bravado. They relate to others on the basis of power. They believe they're at the center of things until they face very serious consequences. And then they fall apart. In fact, they become quite paranoid. I'm thinking about a patient who came into my office who was committing all kinds of fraud, and he was sort of a bully with his family and with his relatives. He came into session crying, paranoid, thinking that his phone was being tapped. But the minute he was acquitted, he went right back to the bravado again. So if P. Diddy fits this offending style, I think he was headed for some kind of a mild breakdown if he got life in prison. Now that, in my eyes, he's kind of been exonerated, okay? You know, transportation to engage in prostitution. I mean, just the least charge. This is going to help him gather his psychological resources. He, in his mind, is going to win. He is going to beat this. He's going to be a good prisoner. He's going to be out on his best behavior. I really shudder to think about what happens when he leaves prison, because men like this become angrier and even more ready to offend once they're incarcerated. And do you know why? Because especially if they're sex addicts or they're deviant, all they have is their sex fantasies. They may not have any as many victims to manipulate, maybe some of the other prisoners, but not in the way that you would manipulate like children and women outside of the prison system. So by the time they get out, they are mad. And I think what we need to do is follow P. Diddy in the future and make sure that he doesn't become even more destructive in the way he relates to people around him.
In the last hours, a ruling. Sean Combs appears before the judge demanding a bond. Judge says, no way. Wow, makes me think of all the times that Cassie Ventura, Jane, and Mia wanted out. But they didn't get out, did they? They were forced back in the ring to have sex with male sex workers. Wonder what that feels like. Think about it, Diddy. There's no doubt in my mind that the moment Sean Combs would have walked out of that courthouse, he would be straight on his way to Teterboro and out of this country. Sydney Sumner, what exactly happened?
So the hearing lasted all of 2 minutes total. We expected the defense to put up a bigger fight to expedite the sentencing, but they retracted their clause and agreed to the October 3rd sentencing date. So that gives investigators plenty of time for a pre-sentencing investigation to talk to all of the people important to Sean Combs, important to this case against him, to determine how long he should spend behind bars. Now, Judge Subramanian at some point asked that both counsel come to more of an agreement on their sentencing recommendations. Right now, it's quite a stark difference. Defense attorneys are asking for 21 to 27 months behind bars, while the government is asking for 51 to 63 months. So we're hovering at a very large gap in between those two recommendations. So we may see further discussions trying to minimize the difference in their two requests.
Joining us now, Tisa Tells from Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, what happened?
This whole thing about Diddy getting a standing ovation, we need to revisit it. First of all, Mark Agnifilio is the one that told us this. So I think we do actually need a fact checker, because Mark Agnifilio also stood in front of the judge and said that Cassie and Diddy were a modern day love story. He also turned in a judge and said that Freakles was like your partner loving strawberry lemonade and you not liking it. He also did say that Diddy might have been provoked with Jane and beating her viciously with self-defense. So again, the only people we have confirming this story was actually Diddy's lawyer, Mark Agnifilio. But even in the standing ovation, I think Diddy's team might be in a little bit of a kerfuffle. They know, at least I would guess, that between now and sentencing, they need to make Diddy look like he is the Pope reborn. I think they're trying to do a lot of feel-good stories, but the fact that that whole standing ovation story kind of fell flat, because at the end of the day, who is clapping for you? People that are beyond hopeless, wishing they had one iota of your access, of your fame, of your privilege, of your money, so that they could hire the dream team and get out of jail. Again, when they say that the inmates were clapping for Diddy, I said it once and I'll say it again. They aren't clapping for the man. They're clapping for the fantasy that one day they can earn enough, take enough, steal enough, however they get it, so that they too cannot be held accountable for the crimes that they are being accused of. Again, you gotta wonder, did it actually happen? And even if it did happen, this is not a good thing. This is not a good thing. It's actually embarrassing. But at the end of the day, this is the most support publicly that Diddy's going to be getting for a long while.
Dubé, I fully expect for there to be another bond hearing before sentencing. Agree?
No. I think that they're going to need the full period of time to prepare. I really believe that there are scheduling conflicts. You know, it'd be different if there was only one member of the defense team, one member of the prosecution, but they are relying now on the input from probation to get reports together, the input from the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the entire sort of defense conglomerate. And they've all agreed upon a date. And they're going to use that time wisely to get everybody interviewed, marshal their resources, and get prepared for the October 3rd date. They're going to use it as a drop-dead date.
No bond for Sean Combs. Diddy will sit behind bars and wait for sentencing. But how did we get here?
This has worked. His strategy, which was his strategy, not his lawyer's, it has worked.
Diddy orchestrates everything. If he pulls this off, it will be his own orchestration.
If he pulls this off, he will feel invincible. And at the moment, he's feeling pretty damn good, Nancy.
After a split verdict where Sean Combs is acquitted of RICO, two other counts come into play. Sean Combs convicted on two felony counts. There was a massive argument via paper to keep Sean Combs behind bars, the defense fighting tooth and nail to let him out on appeal bond, which means you get out while your conviction is being appealed. Joining me right now, Tisa Tells. You can find her on YouTube at Tisa Tells. Tisa, start at the beginning. Start with the verdict, the split. What happened?
When the jury walked in, everybody was on pins and needles. I'm not going to lie. Everybody in the courtroom expected him to be guilty on at least the sex trafficking. There was a somber tone. They walked in, and when they said, please read, and they said, what do you find ye? On count one, not guilty. It was a bomb that went off in the courtroom. The public audibly gasped. Nobody was expecting that. There were tears of joy from Diddy's side. Count two, what say ye? Not guilty. Again, another bombshell went off. People were in utter disbelief. Even Diddy's most ardent supporters did not expect him to get off on the count of sex trafficking with Cassie. Count three, when they said guilty for transportation of a prostitute, when they said guilty for the mayonnaise, that is when Diddy's team actually cheered. Yeah, that's all right. Okay, come on. Almost like we were watching a pro football game. When the other ones came in after that, there were jaws on the ground. It was unbelievable. People were looking at the jury, searching into how they could get a verdict in this day and age. They heard Cassie's mother, the 20,000. They heard Capricorn Clark. They heard about the savage beatings. And it was unbelievable that the only thing they said was prostitution. And that is because Daniel Phillips, in his testimony, actually said, at least I'm guessing that it's because, that he got paid to have sex for money. It was a travesty. It was an all-out circus. Everybody, including myself, are running to safety.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I've got a question for you, Tisa Tales, and everyone's going to want to know this. You're in a car right now. You had to leave the courthouse. Why?
I had to leave the courthouse because Diddy's supporters were out of control. The first time I ran and did my live, of course, I had two armed security guys. Everyone told me, the people in the courthouse is like, make sure you have security. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. It wasn't just me, but I'll tell you what I experienced. Diddy's supporters surrounding me, threatening me, saying that they were going to hurt me. It was a serious situation. It got so bad, and there was so much chaos and violence that they actually had to lock the courtroom down and force the Diddy supporters across the street. It was something myself, the news media, mainstream media, new media have never seen in their lives. The level, and again, the jurors, I hope to God they know how to sleep at night. Because again, I'm sure they did their duty. But when all that chaos was happening, as I was being threatened and ushered out by armed security people, I thought, this is what the jury did. They sent a signal that it is okay to use violence. It's okay to drug people up. It's okay to live a life of debauchery. It's okay to do whatever you want. Because guess what? If you work hard enough and you have enough money and enough delusional fans and you have ingrained yourself in culture enough that you can do whatever you want, and 12 of your peers will look the other way. Again, this jury was shocking.
Tisa Tales, when you say that Sean Combs' supporters threatened you, what were they saying?
They were saying, you effing B, we're going to kill you, you effing B. Apparently I work for the feds. You're a plant. You made this all up because of you. Again, they're not too smart. Because of you, that's how this case got started. We're going to treat you worse than we treated Cassie. Cassie, what we do to you, it's going to be nothing that they had on Cassie. They were screaming. They were yelling. Some people were saying, apologize to Diddy. Apologize to Diddy. Of course, thank goodness, we had Lenny and we had Jimmy, two of the best arm guards out there. So the one thing is they started foaming like wild dogs because they realized that I was not an unprotected woman. And they realized they could not just do what they felt like. And they started foaming like wild dogs, screaming, their voices cracking in anger that they viscerally wanted to rip me apart. This is why their hero had been exonerated. Even in the best of times, these people that support him, there's something wrong with it. And I gotta tell you, Nancy, it wasn't just me. it was not just me. It was anybody that did not have a, that didn't have a pro Diddy stance from the beginning. That's who suffered.
Joining me, an all-star panel, but I want to thank Tisa Tales for what she's doing tonight. You know, Rob Sheeter is joining me. Rob, I really don't know where to start. This is a blow. This is a huge blow to crime victims all over the country. Huge blow. The big news is right now, Sean Combs is going to jail. Okay? Yeah. He's going to jail. I was actually worried that somehow the judge would contravene the law. And the law is, under the Bail Reform Act, that for these two charges on which he was convicted, he has to go to jail. Yeah. There is no appeal bond. Period. Gosh. But I was so concerned that the judge would somehow find a way to let him walk. And all this time, Sheeter, we've been hearing, I've got all these letters here. Here's one from Deontay Nash, in fear, talking about Combs' long, well-documented history of violent, retaliatory behavior. They're afraid, Rob Sheeter. Guys, Sheeter knows Combs better than any of us. His longtime publicist, no more. But now you can find him at his Substack, robsheeter.substack.com, and Naughty But Nice podcast. Sheeter, I got to tell you, it was like a kick in the stomach when that split verdict came down.
Yeah, I think everybody was stunned. Before I continue then, Nancy, I just want to send my best to Tisha. What happened to her outside that courthouse is horrific. It's wrong. And I'm afraid these people now have been emboldened because their hero, their idol, Diddy, looks like he is going to walk free. So this morning when we heard the judgment, I think we were all shell-shocked. We were all heartbroken. We all felt like we'd been kicked in the stomach. However, as the day has gone on, we do have to remember, Nancy, that he has been found guilty of two very serious charges. If any other celebrity had been charged with those two charges, those alone, and been found guilty, we would be done with them. So the celebration from Team Diddy, the disappointment from people who've been watching this as closely as we have, I think we can take a step back, both sides, and realize that this is not a good day for Diddy. He is now a federal criminal. He's in jail tonight. He's going to remain there until he is sentenced. And so at least you can take some solace in that.
You know, Rob Sheeter, I've been getting flooded by crime victims, victims from all walks of life that are upset. They don't really sound mad yet. They're devastated. They're sad. They can't believe this has happened. I've been already subjected to a lot of attacks, verbal attacks, nothing like what Tisa Tales has been subjected to already. But I give the credit to the prosecutors for going in there. And I truly believe this was a David and Goliath. And they went in against one of the highest profile personalities in our country, Sean Combs, who many people think that they know and they love him. And for some reason, that blinded them, that drowned out everything that three sex attack victims said. And one had the video. One had the video. I don't get it, Rob Sheeter. Give me some insight into how Sean Combs got a split verdict. But yes, you're right. He is going to jail on two felonies. Two felonies. Yeah. That's a victory that Sean Combs is going to jail.
Yeah, that's a victory. We have to hang on to that, Nancy, because in this moment, in this hour, there's not a lot of hope. Everything seems so bad. We have let down not just the people in this case, but victims around the world. Diddy now will be empowered. This is not the end of the story, Nancy. When he gets out of jail, if he gets out of jail, his behavior will not change because he thinks he has gotten away with it. again. If you enable someone, Nancy, they do not change. So mark my words, Nancy, this is not the end of the Diddy story. It's the end of a very, very sad chapter. And I think we've let a lot of people down. And as far as being concerned about safety, I just broke reporting that Cassie has now increased her security. Cassie in New York, her home, now has security increased. And I think a lot of other people, courageous people who came forward, assistants, people that worked with Diddy, came forward and testified. They're very vulnerable and they are very, very scared right now.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Back to Tisa Tales joining us. She had to be escorted by armed guards out of the courthouse and leave the scene after she was mobbed by Diddy fans. Explain to me what was happening outside the courthouse. I understand that once a split verdict was announced, the Diddy followers, the Diddy worshipers went cray outside the courthouse, actually dousing each other with baby oil and chanting.
Formed a circle. It looked like a mosh pit of depravity. They were spraying baby oil on each other, jumping around, feeling fantastic. One woman in a pair of Calvin Klein briefs and a bra started jumping up and down, wiggling while they sat there spraying baby oil on her, and the crowd was chanting, yay, 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 go, and hyping them up. It was a monstrous ball of depravity. When I say I was sickened, when I say I shook my head, and when I said, these are the peers, these are the jury of the peers. And it makes me wonder, as the jury goes home and they look at the television sets and they see what their decision cost and what was on the line, it makes me wonder, how can they sleep at night? It was absolute pandemonium. In between the jumping up and down with the baby oil, women willingly, baby oil being squirted on them, and everybody laughing and having a time like Christmas had just come with Santa and the 12 perverted elves. What happened after that was even more amazing, because while that was going on, there were little fires everywhere of these bands of, I don't know if they're incels, if they're idiots, what was going on, looking for anybody they had ever saw make anti-Diddy content. And by anti-Diddy, according to them, it is pro-justice. They were going out their ways to make sure that everybody paid. And again, I said, this is what that jury cost us. It let us know. It sent a message. It's okay to be depraved. It's okay to beat women. It's okay to do drugs. It's okay to do whatever you want. And that jury, when they gave their verdict, signaled that. Again, I'm still coming to terms with how the jury got to this. Thank God this man was denied bail. Thank God.
Rob Shearer, is it true that you just published an article that there is going to be a Sean Combs Diddy women's shelter for abused and beaten women? I guess he could fill the whole thing up.
Yeah, Nancy. So last night I hit the phones, and thank you for all the support you've been giving my Substack. And so this morning I posted a story. I spoke to three different Diddy insiders last night saying, what's next? What is he going to do? I've reported about the comeback tour potentially with Kanye West. What else does he plan to do? And all my sources told me that he's going to use this moment as a marketing opportunity. He is shameless. This is a chance for him to bounce back. He thinks to be bigger than ever. And I can see him, Nancy, standing outside a Diddy women's shelter, cutting the ribbon, saying that he's a protector of women. He loves women. He's going to flip this narrative. There are no concrete plans for this yet, I point out in the story, but it's just one of the options that Diddy and his team are exploring. How can he bounce back? Not just in music, not just in fashion, but how can he get his reputation back? Normally we see celebrities go to rehab. Remember that, Nancy? They always go off to rehab for a few weeks. I'm told Diddy's not going to do that, but he's going to open up potentially several different shelters for battered women around the country. This is something that is seriously, Nancy, being discussed.
Lynn Shaw, thoughts?
Not going to happen. Never going to happen. He and his team can talk all they want. They can spend millions of dollars on strategies. They can go on every show, which I'm sure he will make his comeback tour, being paid who knows how
his
much money.
His resurrection tour.
I'm not even calling that, because to me, he's dead. So there's no resurrection with this degenerate, okay? It's never going to happen. If we at the Warriors have to get every warrior we know to go out and stop this, we will do it. Because you know what? We know he's, all you have to think about is that Cassie video. I think the judge even, you know, with no bail, is like, no, the Cassie video. In his mind, I'm not a mind reader, he is going to fall. I maintain right now things they may think are looking good. I'm reminding everybody all day yesterday and today, he's still a convicted criminal. He's still sitting in jail. He's an offender. Offenders don't change their stripes. He will come out eventually and he will reoffend or do something worse. He's not going to change. I maintain these shelters they talk about, it's going to be a nice PR stunt. It's not happening. No way in hell under the Warriors' watch. We're not allowing this.
It's so difficult to reflect on the darkest times in your life. Sometimes you got to do that. I was f***ed up. I mean, I hit rock bottom. But I make no excuses. My behavior on that video is inexcusable. I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. I'm disgusted. I was disgusted then when I did it. I'm disgusted now. I went and I sought out professional help. I had to go into therapy. I'm going to rehab. Had to ask God for his mercy and grace. I'm so sorry. But I'm committed to be a better man each and every day. I'm not asking for forgiveness. I'm truly sorry.
Lynn Shaw joining me from Lynn's Warrior. She's the founder and executive director dedicated to ending sex trafficking and abuse on girls and women. Okay, I've heard she asked for it. It was her idea. She started it. It was consensual. She's a slut. Or as Agnifilo said in court, she's a beautiful woman. She loves sex. On and on, the same old stereotypes we've always heard, but this is a new one. It was self-defense. Sean Combs was acting in self-defense when he beat Jane.
Blah, 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 blah. The same old playbook. Let's kick it to the curb. First of all, I want to say something. A great shout out to Tisa and to Rob. Stay safe. I put out a statement on the Warriors about this right away with the verdict. I've been attacked relentlessly all day and all night yesterday. And guess what? By women. Women. So what does this say about all of this? So now you have a lawyer who's saying self-defense. I've heard this one before, Nancy. Anything to blame the victim. My concern here, though, is society, is the justice system itself not understanding, accepting all of this. How come all of those Diddy disciples attacking Tisa and others, how come they aren't, you know, in this frenzy to support victims, survivors, those who testified? Why is it that there's this power over this criminal, convicted criminal, this monster? You know what? That playbook is old. These lawyers can say what they want. My concern here also is that women are attacking me for putting out what I am saying, that he got off because they didn't prove sex trafficking and I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you know what? Everybody should walk in my boots, come along with me with the Warriors and do the work we do in the communities. And they'll understand real quickly. These jurors, I wish I could have taken all 12 of them on the road with me. They would have convicted him of sex trafficking right away because they have to see reality and they're blinded by, as Rob pointed out and Tisa, this stardust, this wealth, this power. But you know what? He's still, at the end of the day, a convicted criminal. He still is in jail. We still have counts against him, and he will go down. Maybe not right away in the next few years. He's going down.
Joining me, Troy Slayton, renowned defense attorney, joining us out of the L.A. jurisdiction. Troy Slayton, look, Okay. You got a lot of tricks in your magician's bag that you whip out in front of juries to get those not guilty verdicts that you seem to get, sadly, frequently. But Troy Slayton, in a case like this, have you ever seen the defense argue self-defense? That the alleged rapist, the alleged sex trafficker, was acting in self-defense? I didn't see any pictures of bruises on Sean Combs. All I saw was him running up and down the halls of the Intercontinental in nothing but a towel. And we now know why he had the towel that he was clutching so desperately, because he didn't want this to be seen on the camera. That said, have you ever seen self-defense used by an alleged rapist or an alleged sex trafficker?
It's the job of the defense attorney, Nancy, to be a zealous advocate for their client and to do everything that they can within the framework of the law to secure an acquittal or to get the best possible deal. Now, I'm not going to sit here and gloat just because I got it right all along that the government overcharged this case. There was not an overreaching criminal conspiracy.
Oh, yes, he would never gloat. That's just not Troy Slayton.
RICO here.
He would never say, I told you so. Oh, quick update. Where's Diddy right now? Oh, he's in jail. Okay, continue.
But not for much longer. The sentencing guidelines for what is probably going to end up being the most expensive prostitution trial in U.S. history is 15 to 21 months. So, although he has what we call maximum exposure of 10 years on each count, which if ran consecutively would be 20 years, he's not going to get that. The starting point for the judge here is 15 to 21 months, not years. And he's already got 10 months of credit.
In a nutshell, unlike state court, where I prosecuted in felony superior court, where the judge had great, great leeway and depended on the state to make a very convincing argument when it came to sentencing. In federal court, there's something called the federal guidelines, the sentencing guidelines. Why? Because federal judges, number one, they're appointed for life. They can do whatever they want to, just like the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay? Life, in case you didn't know. They're not reelected. They can't get thrown out.
You can get impeached.
Okay. You name five justices. Name one justice. One justice, U.S. Supreme Court justice, that's ever been impeached. Oh, hearing nothing, I'll continue forward. The sentencing guidelines were instituted because federal judges across the country had wildly divergent sentences for the same crime. And defendants were starting to say, hey, whoa. He got 5 years and you're giving me life? How can that be? So the sentencing guidelines were put in place to kind of corral the federal judges into behaving and having a more consistent sentencing guideline. However, there are, in a nutshell, I'm not going to let Troy Slayton give you a legal treatise on this. There are upward and downward departures. And I know a lawyer, now disbarred, that made a living of getting snitches behind bars to make up stories to help get downward departures. Downward departures are when you present the judge evidence to the defendant's favor that gets the judge to give a lesser sentence. There are also upward departures.
It's called mitigating and aggravating factors. And that's what the attorneys for Diddy are going to do. They're going to say all the great things about him in order to try and get the judge to downward depart or deviate from the sentencing guidelines. It used to be in this country, Nancy, that the sentencing guidelines were mandatory. The judge was confined to, in this case, the 15 to 21 months. But that's no longer the case. The judge has wide discretion to sentence up to the maximum in this case, but it's not going to happen. Diddy is going to be out in a matter of months, not years.
As we wait for what will no doubt be another bond request, we stop to remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Frank Bordenaro, Genesee County Sheriff's 44, killed in the line of duty after 19 years of service, leaving behind grieving wife, now widow, Robin, and two sons, Bryce and Chase. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Frank Bordenaro. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.